Okay, so I'll do this one first. This is Ryan Hooks, and his Twitter is at RyanHooks92. I was super excited to hear that you two would be doing a show together. Congrats on your success. Thank you very much for that. My question for you, Russell, as an accomplished bartender, I currently work at a bar in Hollywood where I make pretty good money at a place with a decent cocktail list, but the owner doesn't seem to be open to creating new menus, or experimenting with new or trending cocktails. Question is this: would I be making a mistake to leave this job where I have a great schedule and seniority to seek a new job at a bar that would help me grow as a bartender and give me the chance to make new and innovative cocktails, not to mention giving me new liquor and craft skills? So there you go.
Great question, Ryan. Ryan's the
guy's name is Ryan Hooks 92. That is his Twitter handle.
Hey, Mr. Ryan, so very complicated question here. Now, the thing is that you never know the situation that you're going to be jumping into. So you could be jumping into a situation where they're promising you, the world, but when you get there, you might not be doing the same thing. They've hired five other quote unquote mixologists who are also going to be promoting their own cocktails and doing their own thing. So if that is the case, make sure you get it in writing. It'd be very funny to find out that you're able to get that in writing. To say something about the amount of money you're making now, that's relative. What's good money? It's good money. $400 a shift is good money. $800 a shift, or to me, if you look at places like Bourbon and Branch in San Francisco, those guys are walking with, at least I don't know what they're walking with now, but when I was there, we'd walk with $100 a shift, but we were feeling valued, and because of the place that we were working at, we would get the brand ambassadors of liquor companies would pay us to do the extra events that we could supplement the income, and we were in the magazines and doing the cool stuff. So, make sure that you're valuing everything that's going into it as far as the change, what the change could be. Now, if you already have an amount of time that's committed to this restaurant, apparently you writing this email alone, this message alone means that does exist, then maybe it's a better idea to try to sit down with them and say, look, guys, I want to expand my career. I want to do this, and this is how I want to do, and this is what I need out of you in order to do it, whether it be more money, whether it be better shifts, whether it be creative control on the menu, and do it. And, one of the last ways another way to do it is to just do it. Some of the best guys that would prove their value and prove their worth and proved what they could do would walk in, every day with the fresh produce from the farmer's market, with alcohols that were obscure, with their own tinctures that they made at their own homes, and set those things at their well and create their own little cocktails that only they could make that weren't on the menu, but people wanted made and done. So yeah, maybe I would sit at the end of the bar and I would make a Guani Llama, a Guaro, Mandarin Limon Sour, because I had Mandarin Limons and Guaro and Guani Llama that day. And no one else had that, but I only brought enough just for my own well. And I knew I was spending my own money to make these cocktails, but at the end of the day, my well would be the busiest. The owners would see the value of what that was. And, pretty soon you've earned your own spot and your own power. Otherwise, take the leap and jump off and go the other direction, and maybe it'll work for you or maybe it won't.
All right. Next, we've got a question from a guy named Richard Allen at R. Allen.
Yeah. Real quick, Duffy, how was that answer? Was that a good answer?
That was long as shit. I was on Instagram. I left the Twitter app and went to Instagram. I was checking Tinder out, man. Checking to see him. Tinder, we love you. Come on, sponsor us. It was a great answer, man. It was a great answer. All right, so we've got Richard Allen, who's at R. Wow, look at this. R. Allen 34. Can you suggest educational sources for bartenders in less progressive cities? The guy wants to know where he can learn how to bartend. Or keep up with some of the trends.
The internet.
Dude, I heard about this crazy bartending website. It's called Google.
There's this thing called Google. You can Google anything. Yeah.
I think one of the questions.
I would love to say that there's one website, but unfortunately there's not.
How about a book? What would be, if you had, like, is there, and like, there's a book that I have that I always have, and it's La Russe Gastronomique, and it kind of talks about the basics. There's that book. There's another one by Jacques Pepin called La Technique, which talks about the basics. Is there one book that you like hold on to?
Yeah, there's a lot of books that are like this. The thing is that to me, there's, as far as the internet's concerned, it's the internet. The internet, as long as you know the resources and check the resources proper, like liquor.com. Liquor.com is a great resource for this exactly what you're looking for. They have a great drink database. They have links to some of the best bartenders. Some of the things they have to say are amazing. Shakester.com. It was a great community of bartenders that has that kind of access as well. Book-wise, I'm starting to see some books be revamped. You know, it's weird because cocktail books have gone across the board to where it's almost like a textbook of books that you would need for me to say that you would need. But The Bar Book by Jeffrey Morgenthaler is one of the best technique-oriented books that there possibly is. And, going really far back, you know, going not real far back, but going to The Essential Cocktail by Del DeGroff is something that inspire a lot of people. It might be a little bit of not out of date now, but there might be some other books that still cover that and even beyond that, but that's great. But if anything more than I've taken some amazing things from some amazing books, but if anything, just use your common sense and try to take in as much as possible and read all the books and then really read and figure out what's true and what's not and what you think is going to happen. The people that were the trendsetters of this industry were the ones that thought outside what the books were saying.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is from Ron Bloomstein, which is ShoeCity82. That's at ShoeCity82. What's your favorite sipping sipping whiskey? What's your favorite sipping whiskey?
Whatever is in my mouth at that moment.
All right. There we go. I'm a fan of that answer.
I had just as much time drinking $6 bottles of scotch at 6 a.m. with some of my best friends as I've had drinking $2,000 bottles of five-star bourbon that would never exist again with people in tuxedos. So, you know, it's about the moment more than I think it is about the whiskey.
There we go. Hold on one sec. I'm tweeting to these people as we're talking to them, Russell. We're answering their question.
Nice. So, when are we going to get some questions for you? I feel like all these questions are like,
dude,
like,
you know why? You know, I think, you know what it is? I think I'm already an open book, dude. I share so much information about stuff that I do that, yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Well, I have questions down here too. Somebody asked me, you know, what kind of shoes I like.
So I was going to ask a fucked up question.
Oh, go ahead. I want to know a fucked up question. Go ahead.
No. You have really to do your question now. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, this is actually another question for Russell. So, okay. So this is another question from Russell. This is from Mimi_Marquez, Marquez. Any tips on how to break into the bartending industry? So I'm going to let you do that while I reply back to somebody else.
Any tips on breaking into the bar industry? My biggest tip is to take whatever job can get your foot in the door in the hospitality world, whether it be a dishwasher or a bar back or security. You can work your way up from there. I got my first bar gig at an actual true bar by working my way from security. Actually, as door guy to true security to dishwasher, busher, dishwasher, to bar back to bartender to general to manager. So to me, that was you know, working that way up and getting that experience. Because quite frankly, if a bar hires you and you have no bartending experience, it means that the bartender that hired you or the bar manager or the consultant really, really believes in you, is really good to see something.
Absolutely.
But it means that they really believe in you or really see something, or it means they don't know what they're doing. So,
pick one.
Yeah. So there's a big, like, risk factor there involved. So there's definitely been that time where I'll hire somebody based upon the fact that I hire because I can train a good person to do anything, but I don't take those risks too often if I have the ability to train someone that can be that same person and already knows how to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So be very wary of that. Bartending schools these days are actually, if you do the research and become involved in a good one, can be a very, very, very great resource. The resource of having that, I think, is starting to become good. Don't get me wrong, you still have to weed out those hustlers during the early 2000s and the 90s and the late 80s. You were dealing with bartending schools that were just hustling people that didn't have money out of money. But now it's changed. People have elevated this profession, and they have to change. They have to train these people properly, and that's finally starting to happen. So I do think there is a value to bartending schools, and also I think there's a big value to joining certain chapters of the USVG. The USVG is the United States Bartenders Guild. I do believe that some chapters are growing and having their own growing pains. So not necessarily all of them are the best to get involved with yet. But the USBG is something that I support wholeheartedly, and I really hope that it continues to grow in the way that it is, because it's something that can put your foot in the door. So those three things are the things that I would do.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So just so you know, I actually am looking at the people that are asking questions. I'm looking at their kind of story a little bit. So Mimi B, who is Mimi Marquez, who just asked that question, who's actually a beautiful woman, dark black hair, beautiful skin, olive, nice. I wonder if she's on Tinder. And then her question or her statement is, I'm just an ordinary girl who listens to gangster rap on the way to yoga and wears mismatched socks. Rockstar. I don't see swiping left or swiping left for you, my friend. All right.
She's going to swipe left on me?
No. I'm saying she's a very attractive woman who asked a very nice question. You did a wonderful job answering that. I'm very impressed with that.
Oh, thank you. Tell her I will get her a job immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Working for unlimited liabilities. Sign this waiver.
I mean, you just sign this NDA.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, do you know, have you ever been, you know our buddy Shane from Vegas? Hamilton from VRG?
Shane the man. Shane the man that can make anything happen in Vegas.
Anything happen. He's awesome. If you guys get a chance, we'll do this real quick. Vegas Republic Group, and for all your Vegas needs, Shane is really just an awesome human being. He's got a tremendous brain, and he really takes care of people really well. But when you go out with Shane, he makes you sign an NDA.
You've been a part of that.
Yes. Oh, and the best part is that the NDA carries over forever. It's a perpetuity NDA.
It'll be like if there's a group of people that are like well known or public figures, or even if not, just people, he'll literally like be like, hey, he'll stop the party and be like, hey, sign an NDA. And
Shane, you need to get an app that has that on there so you can literally just like with a thumbprint or something.
Yeah. I caught Shane D.A.
Shane D.A. Yeah. Oh my God. Shane's such an awesome dude. One, he's such a great friend, and two, his service and the company that he has and what he provides is just unmatched. My big joke with him was the first time I met him, he's like, oh, I'm a personal concierge. And I thought, well, that's kind of fucked up. Like, this guy's a personal concierge. Like, what do you need? And he's like, what do you want? I said, I want to shoot an M16 out of a helicopter at a bullseye at a desert drinking a Starbucks. And he looks at me, he's like, what time are you going to leave tomorrow?
Boom.
Yeah. Shane. All right, next question.
What flavor Starbucks do you want?
Yeah. Okay, so this guy, J.E. Bordeaux, actually has three questions, which I don't know if we're going to have time to get to all three of them. But it's Jay.
An NDA, for those of you who don't know what an NDA is a non-disclosure agreement. So it's that thing that says, hey, we won't tell anybody about anything we do together.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that's what it is. If you get out and you get in trouble, like nobody can say shit about it because you've got an NDA that says, no, I can't discuss that with you. And, you know, I mean, Shane handles some of the top elite clients in the world. And there's, you know, there's people that are out there that do things that, you know, you just don't want to know about. Hey, by the way, did you hear about Robert Downey Jr.?
No, what?
He was pardoned for his 1996 drug conviction on Christmas Eve. Every year in California, and what it does, it's for exemplary citizens in California that have gone above and beyond what they've done for the community and the whole nine yards, what they did for that crime. He's been pardoned from that. So good, cheers to you, Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. is one of my favorite people in the world. I'd love to
meet Robert Downey Jr. I wish we can't drink with him, but because he doesn't drink, but
no, we would drink. I would drink green tea with. I would drink matcha tea with him.
I'll drink vodka and ginger or vodka and soda.
I would drink matcha.
I'll respect
tea. I would drink matcha tea, and I would just want. I would beg him to be my best friend. I would literally beg him to be my best friend.
All right, so here we're only gonna get to one of J.E. Bordeaux's questions because of the fact that we're hitting the 2 hour mark on this. So we've got J.E. Bordeaux, who is Phoenix CDN on Twitter, and his profile says, "I'm a work in progress."
I think that's a lady, actually.
It is J.E. Bordeaux. Bordeaux? Okay, well, then there we go. So it's a woman. I'm a work in progress.
He's a man. We apologize, but Mr. and Mrs. Bordeaux.
I am a work in progress, forever learning, always curious, which sometimes gets me in trouble. And she's from Canada. So she has three questions for us, and there's a couple of things in here. I don't know which one we're going to go in, but I kind of like this one. How do you balance personal and public life? How do you balance personal and public life, Russell?
Okay, this is getting personal. What I do is I go to Oakland and I get a hooker and
Jesus.
I take her to a motel room and I set her down and I tell her this is going to get weird, and then I pay her first.
Of course.
I yell at her.
You don't want Bob the Enforcer coming after you.
Exactly. I pay her first. I sit her down, and I tell her things are getting weird, and then I yell at her for 45 minutes. Call her dad, mom. I say little other things. And then I cry for 15 minutes on her shoulder.
And you ask her to leave.
Then I ask her to leave. That's how I balance my personal and my private life.
All right. So how do I balance mine? One, I shut my phone off. I'm not going to go the direction that Russell went. I can't go that way right now because he stole the show on that one. How do I balance my personal? One, I love the public. I love talking to people. I love the stories. I love when people there's a general consensus of what happens with people when they come up to you. And I don't know if a lot of people talk about this or not, but when it's a guy, guys usually come over and they kind of look at you and they're like, "Dude, you look familiar." I'm like, "Oh yeah, what's your name?" You know, and he says, "Oh, my name's Bob." And I go, "Oh, my name's Brian Duffy. It's nice to meet you." And then, you know, they kind of go back and forth. Then they realize who it is if they don't recognize you right off the bat, but they know who you are. And then they say, "Oh, my girlfriend loves you," which is the standard answer for, I'm a big fan of yours, but I'm going to say my girlfriend because I don't want to be embarrassed or I don't want to be that dude. And my initial response to that is, "Hey, let's get a picture and send it to her." Okay, because that's typically what people want, is they want to get a picture. And I'm totally cool with that because, one, if it's going to make you happy, then it's going to make me happy because I'm in this business to please. I'm in this business in a hospitable way. I want to do it because I really enjoy the people. Okay, and then if it's a woman comes up and they usually go, "Oh my God, I love you," or "I'm a big fan," or "My boyfriend loves you." It's always the other person that loves us when it comes down to that stuff. And so I do the same thing. "Oh, great. That's perfect. Great. Let's take a picture. Let's send it to them." Like, I always try to do fun things. But on the balance level of it, one, I shut my phone off. Sometimes you just have to shut it off. You can't look at Twitter. You can't look at Instagram. You can't look at Facebook. You can't look at Tinder. You can't look at any of that stuff. It really just comes down to you got to walk away from it every now and then, because otherwise it consumes you.
It's an addiction.
And we're also building a brand at this point. Russell and I are building a followership. We didn't pay for followers. You know, the followers that we have are people that we have – we've generally liked us or genuinely liked us.
I swear to God, I didn't pay her. I swear to God.
Yeah, I did. Bob the Enforcer. So that's how I try to balance within my way. Sometimes work takes over what it is that we do, and it takes a long time to do that. You know, it's a tough run to do what we do sometimes. So,
I feel the need to actually come back and answer this seriously too.
yeah. Sometimes one of us has to be serious.
There's not really hookers in Oakland like that. Maybe there might be one, but really the balance is not easy. It's not easy at all. And if anything, I almost want to answer that question by almost saying that I don't balance it. I do find myself being always driven, always doing things, always going after something in my mind, always turning, and then it turning into another project. And I find myself, you know, sitting at looking up at that fan, that ceiling fan, and seeing it spin. But at the same time, it's almost like the churning of ideas. But I do certain things to take myself out of it. And a lot of that is meditation. A lot of that is,
I love meditation.
Meditation is just one
Holy
of the best
shit.
Things for yourself. And meditation is not really a defined term. We can meditate in many different ways, but it's basically an ability to shut our minds off, and to do that anywhere to me is something that's very valuable. And also, you know, I think it's very obvious in this podcast and the things that I say, humor is another thing. To sit back and laugh, and you know, you might get dropped off when 2-3 bus stops too early in the middle of Guatemala. Right as it's night, you know, in a town of 20 people, and you have nowhere to go, and you might want to sit there and yell at yourself, but sometimes you just gotta laugh, you know. And to me, there's that balance, and also balancing is knowing that this is my life too, and loving it and living it exactly to the way that I want to, and just because it's not normal by other people's standards, just because I am on the road 52 weeks of the year, just because I am traveling throughout the world when I'm not on project or filming. I mean, you know, we Duffy and I talked very much about the hospitality industry and us traveling, but then you mix in the filming, the production aspect of it, and it's even crazier. And we still find balance somehow. And I think that solace is something that is different for everyone. And whether it be exercise, whether it be talking about it, whether it be hopping on a CB radio like Big Trouble in Little China and just telling the world when no one's listening, or looking yourself in the mirror and saying, hey, you know, you got to get this done. Knowing your own velocity is important. And to me, that's where you find your balance. Sorry, guys, we're going to have to be a couple of rash holes and wrap up the Road Rash podcast for this week. But we want to thank, as always, our guests that make the show. Chef Nick Liberato, Warren Bobrow, Alexis Monroe. Look these guys up. Support them. Thank you for your help. And also, I'm going to let Chef Brian Duffy take it over and talk about our sponsors.
Hey, guys, we always have to thank our sponsors because they're the ones who really help us get this done and really help us with the support of putting this podcast together. And in reality, it's kind of hard to get all this done without them. So we totally want to get out there and thank Relax Just Create. We want to thank Techno Solution, Audio Boom, CBD Solution, Unlimited Liabilities, The Mix Radio, Council LLP, and Maggie Gagliardi.
And guys, if you don't ever forget, remember three things: eat, drink, travel. Road Rash, boys and girls.
We are going on a road trip.
Who's with me?
Woo! Can you dig it?
We are on a mission from God.
Can you dig it?
Take me inside to the
Can you dig it?